Nebraska Saturday night.
All right. I'm going to make sure my recording is going and all this technology stuff. But it'll be all right. We'll make it work here. All right. I'm going to give this back to you because I'm not reading from this. Hi, I'm Sherry, and I have a food addiction.
Hi, Sherry.
Before I get going on my story, I just want to say that I'm really grateful to be here tonight. This is quite an experience. If you haven't done this before, I haven't done it like this exactly, but I've told my story before. If you haven't done it before, it's a very powerful experience for me to be able to do this. But even more than that, you know, as I was kind of preparing for tonight, I was thinking about, why am I really doing this? And this, I'm not doing this for me at all. I realized somewhere in the making of all this, I realized that I'm doing this to give back to people. Because this program has given so much to me that I really need to give it back. And if I give it back, then I'll be able to keep what I have. So that's why I'm up here right now. I just have to say, I just have like this overwhelming sense of love for everybody, and that's just not like me. I mean, seriously, I'm changing. And, you know, some people have heard my story before, and, you know, it's been a couple years since I've told my story. And when I sat down to kind of work on it, I thought, gee, I hope I don't bore anybody who's heard it before. And I know there's a couple of people in here who have heard it before. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think so, because it's changed so much. You know, the early years are the same, but it's really changed, especially since the last time I told my story. So, well, just to get started, I'll tell you a little bit about how I got started as a compulsive overeater. I really didn't have a whole lot of issues with food as a child. It didn't really hit me until I was an adult, like past college. I think I've always had a love affair with food. I've always enjoyed food, and I think it was kind of a, oh, I don't know, I was kind of like building the foundation of the disease as a child. But I didn't really, you know, get into all the behaviors that I got into it as an adult until shortly after college. I was a really shy and insecure person, and I still kind of battle that sometimes. As a child, I was extremely shy. I mean, it was painful for me to be around other people a lot of the time. And so, of course, I carried over into adulthood, and I've had to really fight for that, you know, to not be the case. I avoided all social events when I was an adult. I just didn't like going to parties. I didn't like being around other people because I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to handle myself. So when I did go to those kinds of events, I used food to help me get through it. That was like the very first thing I did was use the food. I am a person that in my past has not dealt with emotions very well, and I know that a lot of people can identify with that. Emotions, I didn't even know what they were. If they started to creep up, I wanted to get rid of them as fast as possible, and my drug of choice was food, and so I would just shove them back down, and you know, you do that long enough, and it's like, I got to thinking about, you know, how this program is a three-part program. It's physical, spiritual, and emotional. Well, I was experiencing, I think, like an emotional death. The emotional part for me, I was dead, which is kind of scary to think about. Physically, I was also experiencing a physical death. I was slowly killing myself, slowly, slowly, slowly. When I first came into the program, I did not realize that. I did not see that, but it certainly was a very slow and painful death. I mean, it'd be one thing to just, you know, take your life and boom, you're gone, but it's another thing to just slowly abuse yourself so that you feel it, and then you don't want to feel it as you're going through it. I didn't really have much of a life. I would sit at home and watch TV and eat, you know. I can really identify with the part in the 12 steps where it talks about, you know, closing the drapes and like, you know, shielding yourself from the world, and that's exactly what I was doing. I was just shielding myself off from the world. So I just ate because that was like my friend. It was my best friend, food. That's what I wanted. And every time I did it, I felt guilty and I felt ashamed. As the weight went up, the worse I felt, and then the more I ate, you know. I handled pretty much all situations, good or bad, with food. So on those occasions where I was happy and excited and celebrating, food was there, you know. And then afterwards, of course, I would feel guilty because that's not what I wanted to do, but that's what I ended up doing. Since joining OA, I've discovered that there are other members of my family who are also compulsive overeaters, and they don't, you know, they don't identify that way. But I've seen that, and I can see how it's kind of hereditary for a lot of people. I mean, it was just the way our family was. And so today I still struggle with that because I'm changing and I'm ever changing, but my family's not. And it's kind of hard to leave them behind like that but I also know that I can't make them do anything, and I just can't give them what I want to give them exactly the way I'd like to do it, because it wouldn't be polite. But but I'm working, you know, on just being a good model, you know, and just living the program to the best of my ability so that they can see that, and maybe that will help them, you know, come around. I became morbidly obese through all of that food. My top weight was around 255 when I started away at about 245, but I know I was somewhere in the neighborhood of 255. It might have been creeping up to 260 because I don't know that I was weighing myself all that often at that point because I didn't want to see where I was. I mean, obviously I was continuously buying new clothing, and that was difficult to have to go through. I brought a couple things. You know, I know everybody likes different things to see. I did bring some pictures, and I really don't... I look at them, and I don't always see the large size. The last picture, when you see the little school photo, you'll see it's just my face, and it's pretty big. I don't really see that, but here's what really brought it home to me. I was digging through some old clothes, and I've been busy for the last, months trying to get rid of all my clothes, and I hate dealing with clothing, so it's taken me a long time to deal with that, but this brought it home to me. My pair of 24 jeans. I mean, when I look at that, I think, gee, I can almost get two of me in there. And this really, I'm glad I have these. You know, I've gotten rid of, I think, just about everything else. But these were just kind of lurking in the basement, and I got them out, and I thought, well, this says a lot to me. And I think I need to hold on to these, because this disease is so powerful that there are times where I just start to forget. I start to forget what it was like, and that's going to remind me, I think, more than anything else. As a compulsive eater, I would eat all the wrong foods. Pretty much junk food was a food group to me. I mean, that was my only food group, was junk food. Fast food restaurants, most of the time, three times a day, and then some. And I have to add the and then some, because I wasn't like eating three meals a day. I could easily eat my three meals and then be out and about in the evening and just stop somewhere else and have another meal, because I needed it, I thought. So I was hungry. I deserved it. I had all kinds of excuses, but really, I was just deep, deep, deep into the disease. Sweets was like a major, major problem for me. My idea of running errands really meant going places that would allow me to buy them. So I found sweets in, you know, every place. I mean, I pretty much only went to places that had them. So even the hardware store, you know, carries that thing for me. So that would be my goal when I went out, would be to get the sweets. And then if I had to pick up something else because I would need light bulbs or whatever, I'd do that too. But really, I was just on a mission for food. That's kind of where I was. I hoarded things. I hoarded sweets. And this is so shocking that it wasn't that long ago, and I've been in program for 3.5 years, it wasn't that long ago that I actually found some that I'd hidden. Within the last few months, and I'm like, oh, that's really bad. That I'm opening a drawer and there's some food that I was hiding from somebody else. You know, I live alone now, and I still have a tendency, you know, I think about where I'm putting my food because I didn't want other people to get it. My dad used to love sweets just as much as I did. He probably still does. He just doesn't get them as much. And I knew that if I didn't hide them, he would get them. And so I was busy hiding food at work. I kept a stash for other people and myself, but unfortunately other people would chip in and buy them, whatever that sweet item was, and we'd keep it in my little mini fridge, and then I was busy buying them again and again and again because they would take a few and off they'd go. I'd eat the entire bag, and then I'd have to replace it quickly so that the next time they came in for their few, there was still some left. And so I was busy. I was out shopping quite a bit for those items because I kept eating them. It was kind of sad. And holidays always meant food to me. I just commented to somebody today. I went to this morning's 8:30 meeting, and I commented that for the first time in my entire life, I just realized that holidays don't mean food to me anymore. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And that just hit me today. And, you know, that's one of the gifts of this program for me is I keep finding these new things that are just wonderful. And if I'm not looking, I don't notice them. But, like, today I really caught that one, and I thought, wow, I like that. Let's see. Things that I've tried in the past to combat the weight. I've done a little bit of the over-counter diet pills. I've joined a weight loss program a couple of times. Got to my goal weight once, was so excited, but you know, within weeks, the weight was creeping back on. It didn't take long at all. I didn't even get through the management phase. You know, they're like putting you on this certain amount of weeks of management, and I did not make that. I learned not too long ago that willpower will only carry you for a couple weeks anyway. So, you know, we think that we don't have enough willpower. Well, we've got lots of willpower, but if you're only going with willpower, it's not going to last that long. I was more obsessed with the food when I was in that weight loss program than ever before. I mean, it just brought food to the forefront, and it was like I was constantly thinking of food. And no wonder it didn't work. I was so obsessed that I had to keep eating. And I thought that paying the money to be a part of that program would be motivating. That didn't work. I just lost more money. I mean, I just had less and less of that and gained more weight. I've tried going to gyms before, but, you know, you pay the upfront fee, and then you make this big contract. You pay all this money, and then voila, you write all this money, and I'm not showing up anymore. And so I've learned not to do that anymore because that doesn't work for me. When I came to OA, I had pretty much given up all hope. And I was like, I was just this sluggish, tired person. I was getting tired, you know, going up the stairs. That was a lot of weight to be carrying around. I had a back injury as a child, and the excessive weight would just make that a million times worse. I've had other, you know, joint problems that just were out of control when I was overweight. I had had different bouts of depression, and was on meds for that, and thank God that worked, because I don't know where I'd be today if for not that, because I hadn't come to OA yet and found, you know, even a better solution to help me get through all this. You know, I say thank God that that worked, and back then I wouldn't have even said that, because I didn't have a connection to my higher power at that point. The way I found OA was, I was taking some graduate classes. I was working on my master's degree, and there was an instructor that I came across that she's a therapist in town, and in pretty much all of her classes, she throws in something to do with addictions, and it's kind of cool. It usually has nothing to do with what we're talking about, and she just throws that in there. It probably has something to do with what we're talking about, but I never make the connection, but she talked about it, and I took a lot of her classes, and so I started to hear this, and one day it dawned on me that food could be an addiction. And I just didn't know that. I had no idea that food could, you know, be that serious of a problem. Yeah, I was overweight and slowly killing myself, but, gee, it wasn't that big of a problem. It's food, right? So she kind of just threw that into these classes, and one night we were having class, and there was a gal that was in AA, and she kind of started talking about this 12-step program. I'd never heard of it before. And so I just kind of listened, and it occurred to me, oh, this could be me. Maybe I have this problem, but just with food. And so I kind of parked that in my memory bank, and it kind of percolated up there for a while. And then it took me about 3 months before I finally got up the courage to go to my first OA meeting. And I'll always remember that meeting. I was just scared to death. The day before, I got my best friend to come over and talk to me, and I told her what I was about to do. And that right there tells me that I knew this was going to be something big. It was going to be really serious, because I wouldn't call up my best friend and tell her to come over because I'm joining Weight Watchers. I mean, you know, that's just what people do, you know. But I called her up, and I'm like, I'm about ready to do something, and this is big. And I didn't really know why it was going to be so big and what was going to happen to me, but I just knew that it was different. I knew that no other thing was going to work. No other weight loss program. I just knew that. And that was part of the hopelessness that I was feeling. I could go out and join each one of them and give them all a try, but I knew that certainly wasn't going to work for me. I can see the statistics. I know what they say about, you know, 95% of the people put the weight back on, and only 5% actually keep it off for years at a time. And, you know, I've heard all those statistics before. And I knew that, you know, I would be in the 95% and I wouldn't be in the 5%. One of the first gifts that I was given at that meeting then was hope. I was, you know, I just felt a sense of hope. It was a small meeting, and there was, I don't know, four or five of us, and everybody but the person running the meeting was a newcomer. And I thought, uh-oh, what's this all about? But, you know, I kept coming back, and it was a lot of newcomers for a long time, but then we weren't newcomers after a while. We kind of started getting to know each other, and then I started branching out into other meetings. I started going to 4 to 5 meetings a week because I knew that I needed more, and I needed to get a hold of this program quickly if I was going to survive, so that's what I did. I began reading all the literature and trying to just take it all in. I'm a pretty good student. I like to read and I like to learn. The Big Book, I started working my way through, and I have to tell you, the first time I read The Big Book, to me, it was like it was a foreign language. I didn't get it. The language, you know, back then was just different, the way they wrote and the way they spoke, and it was like, I don't know why I'm reading this book, but I guess I'll keep going. So I read it through the first time, and I don't know how long it took me, months, I'm sure, and then I just kind of put it down. I said, that's nice. I don't get it, but that's nice. And so I'll just keep reading the other things because they made more sense to me. But I just kept it, you know, handy in case I needed it. And then, you know, it took me quite a while before I came back to it. And the second time through, it's like all of a sudden it made all the sense in the world. It's like, wow, how did that happen? Well, I think I just started to really get in touch with the disease, and I started to... The other literature, I think, was kind of helping pull me along so that I kind of started to get it. Talking to other people, listening to other people, I think made a big difference. And for me, you know, in the beginning, I became abstinent fairly quickly. I followed the previous weight loss program's plan because it made sense to me and it was working for me. It got all the weight off once, so why not use that again? And it did work. But I wouldn't have been able to do it without OA. I mean, obviously, I couldn't have done it because I didn't do it the first time. But I used the food plan kind of concept, and that worked for me. I started off giving up. My very first thing was chocolate, and I swear I didn't think I could ever do that. I thought this is going to be impossible, but I did it. And you know, I've been abstinent from chocolate for over 3 years. I mean, that was my very first one. And then it slowly progressed into other things. You know, I wasn't going to go with the whole category because that was overwhelming. You know, sugar, that's a big deal. So I gave up some things. You know, I started off with, you know, your recreational sugary things. And one by one, they started to go away because I saw I was compulsively eating them. And so got rid of them. And then eventually I had to come to the conclusion that, gee, I could sit here all day and have a big, long list of things that I could give up, but it's the category of sugar. So I just don't do recreational sugar at this point. And that, you know, I was abstinent for quite a long time from that until last December. I lost my abstinence. It was the stupidest thing. It was over an item I didn't even care for. I don't know why I ate it. Marshmallows, of all things. And I don't even like them. We were doing an activity at school, and the activity was you needed to put one in your mouth to experience what we were all trying to experience, talking with something in your mouth. It was actually about Down syndrome. But so I wanted to try it with the kids. And before I popped that in my mouth, I'm looking at it thinking, this might not be such a good idea. But I did it anyway. And that was the end of me right at that moment. I mean, I had to finish off the bag. And I knew then that, you know, it took me a couple days to finish them off. But I kept coming back. And so, you know, I've had moments where I've slipped. And if I would have had one and said, whoops, that's a slip to me. But the fact that I kept coming back and I had to finish it until they were gone was like, that's not good for me. So that was my last relapse, really my only relapse, so to speak. And I didn't like that, and that was scary. But you know what? It was important for me to go through that. That's part of my path. That's part of the process. If I wouldn't have done that, I'd still be thinking, you know, this is all good, and this is easy. I mean, in the back of my mind, that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, other people talk about it. It doesn't happen to me. It needed to happen to me. I needed that experience. Currently, my plan of eating, it's changed, and, you know, it has throughout the years, but I'm doing 3 meals a day and 2 snacks, and that's different from where I started. I was doing the 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time, 301, and that was working great for a long time, and so I've learned, you know, that it's okay to change, and that's where I'm at right now, is I have to have my snacks or I'm just not going to make it. That's how I feel some days. I'm just not going to make it. If I don't stick to a plan, though, I have to have a plan. And if I don't stick to that, then I start to get confused. My brain takes over, and that's dangerous because then I start doing all kinds of crazy things. I strive to do 5 fruits and vegetables a day. That's not always perfect. I used to weigh and measure all of my food, and I've gotten away from that, but I can see the writing on the wall. I can usually see when a change is coming a long time before I get there, and that I'm going to need to do that, and I can see it coming. So it's like, you know, if I'm being honest, you know, I'm going to have to start, you know, cracking the whip just a little bit, because things, you know, you have a way of forgetting. The portions become, well, they're bigger, but they look the same size. I used to weigh myself, and a lot, actually, and the numbers were making me crazy. And so on July 7th of 2007, I picked 7-7 of 07, I gave up the scale. And so I'm still excited about that because I was so scared doing that because I thought, how am I going to know, you know? Well, hello, my clothes either fit or they don't, you know? I mean, you know, yeah, I don't need the numbers to tell me that I've got a little thing going on that I need to deal with. And, you know, since when I first lost the weight, I lost 104 pounds. And since that time, I've gained some of that back. I've gained probably 25 back, and I don't know exactly all the time that is because I don't weigh myself anymore. The only time that I will know a number is if I go to the doctor, and then I will get a number. But that doesn't happen very often, so... And that's probably a good thing. I was really worried about getting my driver's license renewed coming up because I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to know what to put on the thing, you know? And I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I'm thinking it should be exact. Like, Sherry, just write a number down. It's okay. So I'm just going to pick a number that I like and put it on there. I don't think they're going to weigh me there, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, my life has just drastically changed since I've come to OA. And, you know, I'd rather spend more of my time telling you that tonight than I would sitting there telling you about all the things in my past. And, I mean, I've tried to give you a good overview of that. But, you know, the most important gift that I've received in this program, I think, is abstinence, alongside a hope. I mean, that was my first gift. But abstinence really is the best. Because when I'm abstinent, I'm clear-headed. I can talk to people. I can do things. I'm a nice person to be around most of the time. I can't say that was so true before I became abstinent. My first sponsor, who I'm very grateful to, talked a lot about being in the fog. And when she was talking about being in the fog, at first I didn't get that. I'm like, what fog? What fog is she talking about? I don't know. And I just kind of went about my business. Well, when you're out of it, you know what they're talking about then. But I think you have to get out of it to know what it was. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, I kind of get that. And, you know, I still sometimes... when I start getting kind of a little crazy with food and I'm like playing with it, I can feel that fog coming back. I'm like, oh, there it is. I don't want that going on. And it's not always easy to stop it, but, you know, I'm working on it. I got all kinds of interesting notes here. The urge, and this is kind of important, the urge to blow it or fall off the wagon or whatever we're going to call that, you know, that still comes. But it sure comes a lot less than it used to, which is wonderful. I remember white knuckling it in the beginning. It was like just every moment I was trying to survive. And I remember, you know, remember the first thing I gave up was chocolate and M&Ms. And I remember sitting in my office, and I had a bag of them in the kitchen. And I would get up and just get a few, and then go sit down. And then I'd get up and go get a few, and then I'd sit down. And I can still remember this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And this, just that craziness that was going on, I don't miss that at all. That's part of my abstinence, is just like being grateful for not missing, you know, all that crazy behavior that I was having back then. So abstinence is definitely a like one of the biggest things for me. And so I've talked about no recreational sugar for me. You know, people always want to know, what's your abstinence? What are you doing? Well, certainly no recreational sugar. No pop. I actually gave up pop before I started OA, both diet and regular, which I'm so glad I did that. So that's, you know, I don't even want the sugar-free whatever stuff. I don't even do that. I don't eat anything fake chocolate. Certainly not real, but I don't even do the fake stuff. I've gotten away from... anything dessert-like, even if it's sugar-free. I just don't even go there because it just makes me want the real thing even more. And so I try not to partake in that. But the only thing that I do with like NutraSweet or whatever is like Crystal Light during the summer. That's all I have to have, and that makes me happy. And then I stop after a while, and then I go on. I had to give up sunflower seeds in the shell, and it was talk about being obsessive. I mean, I would eat them, and my mouth would hurt so bad from the salt that it was like burning holes in my mouth. But I wouldn't stop, and so I had to give those up. And I can eat them when they're not in the shell, no problem. It's just the ones in the shell. So, yeah, crazy. Peanut butter, I can't have peanut butter, or deep fat fried foods. Deep fat fried foods is my holdout foods. That's the one that I kept for the longest time. I just didn't want to part with it. And, you know, my abstinence has evolved. Each time I've given up something, it was kind of a natural, it was time, I knew it was time, God said it was time, okay, get rid of it. And it wasn't that big of a deal. But boy, I tell you what, the deep fat fried foods, that's a big deal. It still is a big deal to me. I still want it. Not as much as I used to, but if, you know, somebody walks in with a bag from some restaurant and there's fries in there, I sometimes have to leave the room because it's just too powerful for me. But, you know, if I'm going to struggle, that's probably going to be the one thing I'm going to struggle with. But it's getting better. And, you know, I certainly have hope because all of the other things that I've given up, I don't want anymore. The most amazing experience happened to me a couple weeks ago. I had to have a colonoscopy. That was not the amazing experience. But I had to have a colonoscopy. And I had one the year before. And, it wasn't that bad of an experience. Until I found out this year that I couldn't do the pill form to clean you out. I had to do the gallon, you know, stuff. And so I heard the horror stories. I'm like, well, this isn't going to be good. But, you know, I'm tough. I could do this. Right. So I had to do this. But, you know, so that was weighing on my mind before. But then they said you had to go 2 days on a clear liquid diet. And I'm like, what do you mean 2 days? Last time I only had to do one and about died. And so I'm like, okay, 2 days. So I had to really try to pump myself up. Well, I went into this weekend because I always schedule these things for a Monday because, you know, if I'm going to be in the bathroom or whatever, I want it to be in the weekend. I don't know. So I decided, you know, that I was going to have to deal with this, but I was so fearful about this. And the reason I was so fearful is this clear liquid diet, all the stuff they listed had sugar. Except for the chicken broth. And I'm like, I cannot live off chicken broth for 2 days. Literally, I thought I'd die. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to partake in these foods that I've given up for an entire weekend. I figure I'm going to be on quite a high by the time Monday rolls around. And so I was really fearful. And so I tried to call my sponsor. My sponsor's not available. Like, okay, great. I'm like, now what do I do? Well, you know what? I just thought, what would my sponsor say to me? She'd say, turn to God. You know, God is my higher power. Ask God for help. So I did, and that helped some, but I'm still like, okay, you're going to have to get me through this because I don't think I could do this. So I spent my entire weekend eating sugary foods. And I thought, what is going to happen to me afterwards? You know, am I going to lose my abstinence? Am I going to have trouble? Is that physical allergy going to get kicked off and I'm going to be going down the tubes and I could just see that this could be really bad. And that's where the fear was, is just thinking about what was going to happen. And so I decided, all right, I have to do it. I have no choice. So I did it, and I just, you know, got at my side, said, you know, help me through this. And amazingly enough, after all was said and done, I have less of a desire for that food than I had before. A million times. I don't want anything to do with it. And I think it had a lot to do with that stuff you have to drink. Because I can pair the two things together now. Think of one and the other, you know, and I'm like, okay, that is just a miracle to me, to be able to survive something like that. Because before, if I would have just, you know, eaten it, I would have been gone. I would have been in trouble. So that's not even in here. I wanted to share that with you. Because I just think that's so amazing. And that's just one of the gifts. You know, if I wouldn't have been in a good place with myself and program, I might have had more trouble. If I hadn't connected with my higher power, I think I would have been in a lot of trouble. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. You know, fear has been a big deal to me. I've overcome a lot, and it's because of OA that I've overcome some of these fears. I overcame my fear of even going to therapy, which is amazing, because there was a time where I thought there's no way I would do that. I had a sponsee once just flat out ask me, why aren't you in therapy? I'm like, oh, how bold. For somebody to say that to me, you know, what do you mean? I don't need therapy. What are we talking about here? And so, you know, but gee, I am grateful she said that, because it just planted that seed that I need planted, that, you know what, maybe I do, and maybe it's a good thing. You know, maybe it's not a bad thing like I was thinking it was going to be, like, I'm above that, or I don't have any issues. Oh, please. I've been going for, I don't know, 2 years. And I'm still going, and going strong, I might add. But I've worked through so many fears, and, you know, I wouldn't have gotten there had I not come to OA. You know, a lot of people maybe start in therapy and then find OA. Well, I did it the other way around. And that's working for me. One big fear that I overcame was my fear of water. I had just a real terrible fear of water. I was injured. I broke my back, actually, in a swimming accident. I hit my head on the bottom of the pool. I went down the slide and dove in and hit my head on the bottom. Broke my back. Walked home. I was like 11. Walked home, crying all the way, and find out that I fractured my vertebrae. Great! And so ever since that time, I've not wanted to be in the water, because that momentary, it seemed like a lifetime to me, but it was probably a minute, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, I don't know, not knowing which way was up, and I'm underwater. So that kind of ruined the water thing for me. Well, because I came to OA, and because I was able to get into therapy, I was able to deal with that. At one point, about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, I decided I needed to be in the water. And I still had a fear of water, and I just was feeling called to the water. And so I started working on that and overcame my fear of water, and now I found a real big joy in my life, kayaking. I love to go kayaking, and I never would have done that before. Another reason I never would have been able to kayak is I wouldn't have fit in the boat. Literally, I would not fit in the boat. And every time I go out, I think about that. As I'm sitting on my kayak thinking, you know what? I couldn't have done this before. There's a lot of things I couldn't have done, and I don't even know what they are because I didn't do them, you know? I don't know what I was missing. And so the beauty of this is I'm starting to expand and find out what it is that I can do now that I wasn't able to do before. Another big area for me, a big fear, was the money and my finances. My financial life was just a mess before I came to OA. I was so busy hiding from my financial problems, you know, my debt and the bill collectors calling and stuff, that I didn't even acknowledge it. It wasn't even there. And it's taken me a long time to get there. Starting last June, I've been able to manage to balance my checkbook every month and pay all my bills on time every month. So it's been just over a year that I've been able to do that. And I give credit to OA for that, too, because I'm starting to find those places in my life that are unmanageable, and I'm dealing with them. I don't think I ever would have dealt with them, because there's a lot of shame involved in that, you know? I created the problem, and I didn't know how to get myself out. And now I know how to get myself out. It's called being honest and, you know, working at not impulsively buying things, because that's like a cross addiction for me, is just buying things and charge, credit card charge. Because, you know, you don't have to worry about it. Worry about it later. I always wanted to worry about it later. If I wanted it, I wanted it now. And that was the food and lots of things. If I want it, I want it now. And so I want it when I want it. So OA has really helped me deal with that. It's still a battle for me. I still have, you know, I've created this big mess, and I'm not going to get out of it right away, and I'd love to just do it overnight and say, all done. I'm ready for it to be over, make it go away. Well, it's not working that way. It's taking some time and commitment and a lot more work. So, but I'm, you know, with the steps, you know, the steps are really helping with that. The steps are so important because they really guide me in where I need to go, and I'm clearing up my side of the street along the way. And it's making a huge, huge difference. My latest find about myself, and I keep finding new things about myself, which is just amazing. My latest find is that I have a problem with disorganization. And you can give it a title if you want, chronic disorganization. It's very similar to hoarding. And again, I really didn't want to deal with this one. I wouldn't even hardly talk to this with a therapist because it was so shameful. I mean, you know, I didn't want people to come into my house because it was so disorganized. I've got rooms where the doors are closed and they've been closed for years because there's a bunch of stuff on the other side that I'm not dealing with. And so because of OA, I'm starting to deal with that. And I'm starting to be honest about it and clean up the mess. And, you know, again, that's something that won't go away either overnight. I'm having to really deal with that. Really, I've gotten so much from this program. It, you know, I tell people it has saved my life. It has absolutely saved my life. I am a different person today than when I came through the door the first day. I like myself better. I have more confidence in myself. I'm doing things that I never would have done before. I'm able to, you know, tackle new things, getting up in front of people. And actually, I'm feeling pretty good about it now. 30 minutes ago, I wasn't. Feeling better now. I've actually started teaching graduate classes, and, you know, I've always thought big people are scary. Because I teach second grade. I teach little people, and they're not scary at all. You know, they're accepting, they're non-judgmental, you can do anything, and they think you're wonderful. That's not always so true with adults. But I've branched out, and I've taken on some new challenges like that. And I'm pursuing passions that I didn't even know I had. You know, I'm finding my passions. And, you know, kayaking's one of them. You know, being in the water and kayaking is certainly a passion. I get a lot out of that, meditative types of stuff. And some scary stuff too, which is fun. But the other passion that I'm pursuing is healing. And I've discovered that I have a passion for energy work and healing. And so I'm working on becoming certified in healing touch. And so I have clients that don't have to pay, and because I'm a student, and they come to me, and I help people. And I never would have guessed before OA that I wanted to help people. And, you know, coming in here and doing service has really shown me that feels good, you know, to work and help people and do things for others. Never would have done that before. I know I wouldn't have done that. I was too much into myself. What did I need, you know? Who can do something for me? So that's been just a blessing that I've been able to find that. My plan is to go to massage school and get a license to touch. So, I, you know, the things that I do now, when I start to struggle, and that happens sometimes still, I do things like I try to walk it through. That's been one of the best strategies for me, and I learned that from one of my very first meetings, that if I'm struggling and just I'm about ready to maybe partake in something I shouldn't, then I just walk it through and think, what will happen after I do that? And then what will happen? And then what will happen? And then what will happen? I just kind of walk it down. And every time that I try that, for the most part, that works for me. I do have my moments that doesn't work. Prayer and meditation is becoming bigger and bigger in my life every day. I still kind of fight that morning time. I don't like to get up in the morning. I am not a morning person, so the idea of getting up early is kind of a struggle. When I do, I enjoy it, and so I'm still kind of battling, why am I not getting up if I enjoy it? I just haven't enjoyed it long enough, I think. Once I really get going, I'll be all right. I think I'll be able to do it. I say a lot of times, this too shall pass. I use that one a lot. Because everything I've experienced, it does pass. I mean, it's not like it's there forever. The feelings, when I'm trying to deal with the feelings, I really have to work on thinking they're not going to last forever. My therapist one day said to me, Sherry, it's a feeling. It'll go away. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks. Thanks for telling me that, because I forgot. I use all the tools in the program. That was kind of a quest of mine not long ago, is to make sure I was using all of them, because I have, you know, my favorites, and then I have those I don't care for so much. And so one of my holdouts was phone calls. That's the one I didn't really want to do, and so I've conquered that for the most part. Some days are better than others, and, you know, I'm making at least a call a day at this point. Some days better, like yesterday I talked to four people, so it just depends on the day, but I didn't really want to do it at all in the beginning. I started with the food plan, and that was really important. And then I let it go for a while, and then it was really hard to bring that back, because I felt like so constricted, like, oh, I have to follow this. What if I want something else? Well, the point of that is what if I want something else? I probably shouldn't be eating it. I mean, it just, of course I shouldn't be eating something else once I've planned for something, because that's the disease for me, sneaking in, saying, hey, this sounds better, go this way, you know, and as soon as I start listening to that little voice, I'm doomed, so I try not to do that. I'm using my current sponsor a lot more now. I was fading away from the program more than a year ago, and it all started when I just one day decided I didn't need a sponsor. I didn't exactly tell her that exactly. I think I have some amends to make. But I did. I just kind of stopped. And I didn't really even know what was going on. I really didn't. I didn't know where I was, what I was doing. And I just started slipping away. I think I was getting cocky. I didn't think I needed anybody's help. I've been fighting that from day one, getting other people's help. I've never wanted to ask for help. And so when things were going well, I thought, good, I can stop asking for help. And then I started to slowly slide, and fade away. And so I came dangerously close to stopping coming to OA. I was down to maybe a meeting a month, and the only thing that kept me coming was I was doing the newcomers meetings. It was a service. And I could pump myself up great, and I could talk to those people wonderfully. You know, I thought, you know, they're hearing the message they need to hear. I can still give the message, but gee, maybe I don't really need to be here anymore. And so that kept me coming. So for me, service is really important because that keeps me connected and linked to the program, especially when I'm struggling. But I finally decided, you know what, I do need to help, and face it, you can't do this alone. And so then I sought out a different sponsor and thought, let's give this another go, and that's been working out for me. So, you know, that's good. And I really appreciate, you know, not just her help, but everybody's help. My sponsees, everybody at meetings, every little part comes together for me and makes this work. I can't just do part of it. I have to do all of it. It's a package deal for me. I have to put it all together. I still have work to do. I just completed my fifth step this summer, and I'm, you know, I'm doing six and trying to get it, kind of keep it going, because I can easily poop out, because I've done that before. It took me a couple of years to do my fourth step. I was like, geez, Louise, what are you doing? Well, I was avoiding, procrastinating, didn't want to do it. So now I'm trying not to let that happen. One of the things that I was going to talk about, and I'm almost done, was some of the other gifts that I got. I didn't really talk about the benefits I got health-wise. That, to me, is a really huge deal. When I came into OA, I had a high cholesterol. I had high blood pressure. I was on pills for both. I was borderline diabetic and headed in that direction really quick. Diabetes runs in my family. Both of my parents have it. And I was in bad shape. I mean, I was just barely creeping along. And, well, by the grace of God, I was able to turn that all around when I lost the weight. And I brought this. I'm going to pass this around. This, I don't know if people do these things. I do. I framed the letter that I got from my doctor that says that what my cholesterol is. And, I mean, it went, like, I don't know if that one's the exact one. There was a point where my cholesterol was up near upwards of 250. It was up. And it went down at one point to 125. I got off the cholesterol meds. My blood pressure came down, got off the meds. At that point, it was like, let's think about taking you off of that, I think is what that one says, because it was already way down. And I'm no longer borderline diabetic. And I still check once in a while just to be sure, because I want to make sure, because it does run in the family. It's not like it can't come and get me. So I do check that. But I'm able to control all of that now because I can stick to a food plan most of the time, and I can, you know, eat smart foods. But that was just, like, huge for me. That was, like, at the time when that happened, that was so much better than the weight loss for me. Yeah, it's great to get the weight off, but, you know, to have my health, I mean, that's all I've got. I mean, if I don't have my health, where am I? So I just had to say that. I wanted to pass that around, too. And, you know, there's one other huge gift that I've gotten from the program, and I don't know if this is going to mess Barb up later, but I'm going to shut this off if she doesn't mind. And I'm going to make sure it stops.